Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." The work of the Lord is to win those that do not know the Lord into the kingdom of God, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. What wonderful scriptures. Oh, to start this program, praise God for His word. His word, remember, is Jesus. We're going to be talking there's going to be singing of Jesus, and I'm so grateful that we can sing about Jesus and talk about Jesus because He's in each and every one of us who believes in Him. Praise the Lord. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And as you're praying for this country and the momentous decisions that will be made in the near future, I hope that you will pray that evil will be defeated and good will be the bulwark of the United States. Remember, God is a good God. And without God, it turns into an evil mess, absolutely evil mess of hatred. As God says in Psalm 97, verse 10, "Hate evil, you who love the Lord, for God loves all who hate evil, and those who love Him, He keeps safe." He keeps you safe. Isn't that marvelous? No matter what happens, He keeps you safe and snatches you from the grip of the wicked. Because things are so intense and happening so quickly, we cannot focus on one person that we must be vigilant against. It's like the other day when I heard that Kim Cheadle, who was the director of the Secret Service, she would not resign, and she was in front of Congress, and both sides were saying, "Resign, resign, resign." And then overnight, she resigned. It's like so many months we have been praying that Joe Biden would step down. Well, he stepped down one day. So is it people we're praying against, or is it an ideology? And I suggest to you, it's an ideology, an evil Marxist empire that is trying to undermine the liberties that we so enjoy today. And I'm suggesting that you pray to upend the dominating evil force that is the driving part of the country that thinks about destroying the freedom that our forefathers suffered to give us. But we're not fighting against flesh and blood, my friend, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. That's what we're praying against. We're destroying these ideologies, these left, absolutely ungodly Marxist ideologies, and we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. That's our assignment, friends. These ideologies that we're coming against are not people. I know that when I think of certain people, I think of certain people, I may not have good thoughts about them. But Jesus came to bring everyone around to believing in God. And we must take on that mantle of praying for even the worst of sinners to come to the Lord Jesus, even the George Soroses and the Bill Gates. We must not be caught up in name-calling. It doesn't do any good, because if we're praying for God to change things, our name-calling of people is not going to bless God in any way, shape, or form. Oh, I am learning so much about the ways of God, even at my age, yes. How refreshing to let all the judgments and all the criticisms go. I let judgment and criticism leave my life in Jesus' name. I want you to say that with me. I let judgment and criticism leave my life in Jesus' name. Again, one more time. I let judgment and criticism leave my life in Jesus' name. You're going to feel free. You really are. Memory verse for this week is Psalm 89, 14 and 15, and especially 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. And from the Passion, Psalm 89, verse 14, your glorious throne rests on a foundation of righteousness and just verdicts. Just verdicts. I love that. I'm believing that all of President Trump's convictions will be overturned in Jesus' name. I can pray that because he's a God of righteousness and just verdicts. Grace and truth are the attendants who go before you, O Lord. How blessed are the people who experience the shout of worship, for they walk in the radiance of your presence. I never want to leave his presence. I want to be there in that joyful presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. Oh, do you want joy today? Oh, just seek him and his kingdom. And all those other things are going to be added to you, but oh, his joy is going to stay with you. My confession for today by Rick Renner. I boldly declare that Jesus chose me to bear good fruit, and that's what I'm going to do. I will demonstrate the fruit of Holy Spirit to everyone around me. Every day I am drawing closer to the Lord and becoming more like Jesus. The fruit produced by my life exhibits the goodness of God as his love surrounds everyone I meet. And that's my goal. That's my focus, is to let people know that God is love. God is the one that they need to seek, and not all of this world and all that it has. You know, it promises so much. The world promises so much and delivers on just very few things. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Rick Renner. It's so remarkable that Jesus tells us in John 15, verse 16, that we didn't choose him, but he chose us and appointed us, each and every one of us, to go forth and bear fruit. And that fruit will remain. And what is that fruit? That fruit coming from a center of love is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Or as the King James Version says, temperance. Now, what is temperance? I remember women walking, I wasn't born then, but pictures of women walking in the streets of New York, wanting to be able to vote. It's the quality of moderation of self-restraint or holding back from taking that second helping. They were coming against the alcohol that was being consumed during that day. With Holy Spirit's help, we can purge and cleanse every part of us that produces less than pleasing fruit. Praise God. I see things in my life that I don't like, and so God is cleansing. Oh, Father God, take this out of my life. Take that out of my life. Take this desire from me. He's doing it, friend, and he'll do it for you as you ask him. Understanding where you are in the timing of all this is so important. Timing is so important when it comes to important issues in our life. Being in the right place at the right time. Have you ever been through that, where you have been in the right place at the right time? I remember when I came out for my voice lesson in college, and it was in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock, and there was John Wells sitting on a sofa reading a newspaper. Now, I'd never seen him before. Of the 4 years I'd been taking voice, I hadn't seen him. And there he was, and he asked me out. I mean, we traveled as a quartet when I was a freshman, and he asked me out. And I thought, whoa, this is strange. But I said, well, that sounds good. I would like to go see an art exhibit, which was canceled. And so by Saturday, we went to see Lou Alcindor play in UCLA. And the drive there, it started a whole new life, a life that lasted for 23 years. So timing is so important when it comes to important issues in our lives. Yesterday, I read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And I'm going to read it again. It just really got to me. I've read it over and over and over again for almost 50 years. And every time there's something new. For everything there is a season, and this is from the Living Translation, an appropriate time for everything, a time for every activity under heaven. a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up. This time, you might say, oh, I wouldn't kill. Yeah, you want to kill evil. Yes, and that's what Jesus did. He killed evil on the cross. Woof! One of these days we're going to see it manifested. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. We've all been through those times. A time to grieve and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. I'm going to be talking about that. It's really interesting. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. I was so intrigued with this passage after I read it yesterday on the air that I meditated on it for most of the afternoon and then began to write some notes about it because I believe every one of us have gone through everything that Solomon stated here. And especially Jesus. I put Jesus in that position. And I'm really excited to tell you about this. This passage stems from Solomon's observations, okay? He was the wisest man on this earth. He was the king of Judah. And when he was in reason and looking at the accomplishments that he made and based on reason alone, Solomon concluded that the cycles of nature through time are vanity, vanity, thus saith the Lord. They're like a air that you want to grab. You want to grab hold of air. You can't. You can't. It's vanity. God brought him around, and I must say, in the spirit, to realize that the cycles of life are appointed by God. God set it up this way. God set it up that I'd walk out of my voice lesson, and there was John Wells that I was married to then for 23 years. Oh, I had such a blessed life. So there, God sets all this up, friend. Our purpose is embedded within his purpose, his will for each and every one of us. And God's appointment is exhaustive. It applies to everything. There is not a single thing that is random. You might say, oh, Barbara, there is. There are coincidences all over the place. No, I don't believe that. All things are appointed. Further, every single thing has an appointed time. Not only are all things appointed, the timing of all things is appointed. Boy, timing is so good. With faith in God as a foundation for understanding, now all the cycles are part of an intricate and specific plan. And this applies to every event under heaven concerning you. Yes, as the verse this week in Psalm 89 attests to God's righteousness and justice, we must come to the truth that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways so much greater than our ways and our plans. Oh, I wish I would have just thrown my plans out the window because I spent too much time on my plans. Every little thing matters. It is all part of a grand design. The cycles of life are going to happen. They won't wait on us. Have you noticed that? They won't wait on you. Oh, the cycles of life. It is for us to accept or deny. That's for us to choose. We can accept the things that happen or deny them and live in fantasy. Oh, I've seen people do that. Part of our opportunity is to recognize the many things we don't control, things that are appointed by God. We already know from Solomon one vitally important thing we do control, our perspective. What is your perspective? See, I can give a verse or I can talk about an incident here on the radio. Your mind and your memory will go to an event in your life. And your perspective will be totally different from my perspective because you have experienced some things. And as we contemplate God's sovereignty over the cycles of life, we're choosing whether to look at these things from a self-centered perspective or a faith-based perspective. A self-centered, controlling mindset of wanting everything our way or a relinquishing of his will and not ours. Or relinquishing of our will and not his, because we want his will to be paramount. From reading Ecclesiastes, we discovered that we can't really control much of life, but the difference between enjoying and hating life stems directly from how we choose to see it. The perspective we choose on how to look at life determines whether we are fulfilled or whether we are frustrated. And what are you today? Are you fulfilled? Do you have that fulfilled feeling? You love God. You love the Lord Jesus. And things may not be going the way you planned, but you're content. You're being content in what God has given to you. Or are you totally frustrated and about to do something that you will find that you regret? Solomon declares that in God's wise plan, everything is divinely planned. And that's from Ecclesiastes 3:11. All of these times in life are appropriately appointed by God. God created these cycles with beauty and completeness. All the tearing down and the building up, all the mourning and the dancing, all the keeping and throwing away, they are all appointed parts of God's order. And I've learned not to go against God's order. I'm learning that, folks. I am. God has appointed a time to give birth and a time to die. Your life was appointed by Him. Our choice is whether to receive with gratitude the gift of life and enjoy living is based on faith, or pursue and demand answers from our experience, like Solomon did. And then he called it vanity. All is vanity. There's also a time to die. In that sense, death was born in the Garden of Eden. Do you realize that? Yeah, death came in the Garden of Eden, in the midst of all the beauty. All the beauty. Death came, and death will die in the lake of fire at the end of this age. Praise the Lord. We can get a bit of perspective from how God might look at deciding birth and death by looking at how a garden is tended. The gardener decides the best time to plant, as well as the proper time to uproot what is planted. Now, I tried to do a garden here in Denver. I had had a garden in Greeley for so many years. But here in Denver, maybe it's because I live near a cemetery. There are foxes. There are squirrels. All kinds of little vermin, and they love vegetables. And so after a few years of trying to have a garden in my yard, I said, forget it. That's it. I will go to a farmer's market or something. When the harvest is over and all the fruit is picked, it is time to uproot what was planted, plow it under to fertilize the ground, and get ready for the next planting season. That's what my dad did. After harvest, you saw him in the field just plowing everything under. Perhaps God decides the time of our death based on when we have exhausted the benefits we can gain from living life on this earth. They're exhausted. We've tried everything. Everything's been done. And so it's time for God to gather us to Him. God has also appointed a time to kill and a time to heal. Jesus healed many people during His first advent. When He returns again, He will be the source of death for many when He comes on His white horse to slay the devil and to slay all evil. And you'll find that in Revelation 19. God destroyed the earth with a flood when it was filled with violence. And then He made a new earth. Yes, this earth that we live on will also meet a death, being destroyed with fire. And after the flood, God granted moral authority for humans to take life in exchange for life as the foundation for human government. He inaugurated killing as a means to prevent the earth from, again, filling with violence. In that sense, killing led to healing. We see Israel today struggling against Hamas. And it's struggling against a large portion of the world. Today, Benjamin Netanyahu came to the United States. No one greeted him. No one. No one greeted him, not even the Secretary of State. And so we hate to see the killings, and yet again we realize there is only one way to resolve this evil that is endeavoring to blanket the planet, a time to kill and a time to heal. Oh, what healing we find in the shelter of the Most High when we don't know what to do, that we just speak the name of Jesus. Oh, here's Charity Gale. Just speak the name of Jesus.
I know there is peace within your presence. speak, Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak, Jesus. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, and Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Oh, praise God. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there's peace. Friend, if you're looking for peace today, that peace is in Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Oh, we need to say that name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm finding so much to be thankful for, and especially in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word, which is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's Jesus, and the one I can depend on every minute of every day. I'm finding new revelation in reading this passage of Scripture that I've been talking about for this program, and I'm going to be doing more about tearing down and building up. We've seen buildings that have been built. I mean, I went to a school that's torn down. I went to an elementary school that's torn down. I went to a high school that's torn down. My first home is torn down. There's so many things that have been torn down in my life, and they're building parking lots. Oh, yes, lots of parking lots. But they're fortresses in the spirit that we're tearing down, destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So Thursday, tomorrow, Kimberly is going to be with me, the Lord willing, and she's got a precious story. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. Remember David? He gathered stones. He threw one stone and it hit its mark. We're going to talk about that Thursday. It's so exciting. It's so exciting that God brought faith into Solomon's heart. And he did some horrible things. He really did. He came against God with so many idolatrous wives. But I believe his heart melted as he got close to death. And I believe that he is with the Lord Jesus today and his father, King David. Oh, I love you. God bless you. Take joy in whatever you do today.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in